Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Welcome once again to Connecting Faith. Good to have you along. I'm Neil Stavem. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together and enjoy some good conversation and learn a lot. I think every day, Ted Ross at the controls.
And afternoon.
Hey, we're looking forward to the conversation today where we could practice our Prince's Bride imitation. So, marriage.
On marriage, yeah, right.
But brings us together today because we're going to talk about getting ready for marriage. June, typically wedding month. Are you a June wedding?
May
person?
For me, actually.
Yeah, May for me as well. So,
The season, though, here in the spring and summer months. Yeah. A lot of weddings happening.
Yeah, well, in the upper Midwest, I mean, you only really get about 6 weeks to try and squeeze it in if you want to actually not have to wear your winter coat over there. Yeah.
So
we're going to talk about getting ready for marriage. It's a new book out from Jim Burns and Doug Fields, A Practical Roadmap for Your Journey Together. And, you know, there's going to be some great insights, some conversation we have today that will be helpful even if you're not in that category, or maybe you're hoping that you will be someday, or that you are many years down the road, like my wife and I are. You can still benefit from our conversation today. And we do have some copies of this resource, not only the book, but the workbook that goes along with it to give away. So we're going to do that at the end of the hour. And as we do, thanks to David C. Cook Publishing, they've provided us these resources. So we give you the opportunity to call and put your name in the drawing, and then we'll do those drawings here at the end of the hour. 877-933-2484 is the phone number. And Ted, your girls are probably a little young to be thinking about marriage yet.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's kind of in the back of your mind, though, isn't it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. It'll be here before we know it. You know, it goes quick. And we're already praying for their future spouses. You know, they're out there somewhere, we hope, maybe possibly. So.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, too. What can parents and friends do for couples that are engaged or serious or thinking about marriage? And, you know, what kind of input do we have? So all those things we're going to get to today. We welcome you to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. I want to introduce Jim Burns. Dr. Jim Burns is president of Homeward and the executive director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. And Jim speaks to thousands around the world every year. And Homeward has one of the largest, I think, supplies of family and parenting resources available. His radio broadcast heard on 800 stations, including Faith Radio Network. Glad to have him back on with us. He's written lots of award-winning books, Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality, The Purity Code, Confident Parenting, Creating an Intimate Marriage. And he's back with us today to talk about getting ready for marriage that he co-wrote with Doug Fields. Jim, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Neil, it's great to be back. And, you know, I was in Southern California. I'm in Southern California, so I was at the beach today. So, you know, we have good weather more than those seven weeks that you're talking
sure.
about.
Sure. Yeah. Well,
I still love being in the Twin Cities. Okay,
we're glad to have you on with us today. And, you know, I may get over 60 today. So we won't even zip up our coats today. I mean, that's how confident we are. So.
Right. I'm convinced. You guys, it could be 38, and you know, I see students there in shorts with flip flops.
It's
crazy.
We're going to actually, speaking of crazy, we're going to talk about that in a moment. But I do want to find out. You've been doing this for years, working with the parents and teens and families, youth and family speaker and youth worker. I mean, your history goes way back in these areas. So I'm wondering, is it because of all the traveling and the seminars and the work you've done, there's something lacking in marriage preparation?
Well, you know, Doug and I, in fact, Doug, we go way back. I was his youth pastor, and, you know, for 19 years, he was the teaching pastor at Saddleback Church with Rick Warren. But, you know, I was his youth pastor. He was in eighth grade, so we've gone way back. And we love doing premarital counseling, premarital education. We just loved it. We've done it for years. You know, when you're a youth pastor, you end up, you know, they end up growing up and you end up doing it. And we were always thinking that, you know, maybe we could do a better job. We felt like a lot of the stuff was stale. And we were talking about issues with couples that really weren't in some of the books. So what we ended up doing was saying, wait a minute, we need to do it. And then we talked about it. And then, you know, Neil, it was one day we were actually sitting and I said, look at this quote. And it was actually a secular quote, but it said 31% better chance of staying married if you have premarital education. And I went, wow, that's huge. And states like Oklahoma and Florida and, you know, a number of other states are actually lowering the marriage application fee if couples will have premarital education. We started saying, well, they know something, and we in the church need to do a better job of it. So anyway, Doug and I did this for over years. We started doing more premarital counseling kind of with our material, and we said, gosh, we need to make this into a book. So we have a book, a workbook, and actually an online app that's incredible. And we're pouring our life into this right now because we think it's one of the best shots at lowering the divorce rate in America is to do premarital education.
And of course, that rate is high, as is the rate of cohabitation. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. But say a word about maybe what kind of marriage training or a preparation you did before you and your wife were married. That was some years ago, and maybe how that might be different than what you offer in the book.
So. Oh, man. I mean, Kathy and I have been married 41 years and 7 days, okay? So we've made it. You know, it's not always been easy. Sometimes she says the M word, murder, but, you know, our training was by a man who we love and adore. He's actually a very famous man. I won't use his name. But he had one meeting with me, and we talked about sex. And with Kathy, he said, you know, we're college students. We're going to graduate from college 1 week after this. We're going to get married. And he said, you know, you're going to have to spend your life giving up gym. And that was kind of all that we talked about. So she came with her lip kind of quivering, and I was like excited. And I said, boy, that was great, wasn't it? Because we did it separately. And she said, I'm going to have to give you up because he thinks God's going to use you in a big way. And, you know, I want to do that. And I was like, oh, I can hardly wait for the honeymoon. And that was it. And we tease him about that now. But we were not prepared for what happened. And frankly, we put all of our energy into the wedding, and we didn't put it into the marriage. So that first year was really rough because we were not, you know, prepared because we didn't put that energy. I'm not blaming our premarital pastor. I'm just saying that for Kathy and I, we just didn't do that. And we often say, look, you're either going to have to work on it pre-marriage or you're going to have to get counseling afterwards. So why not do it at pre-marriage instead of, you know, waiting until you're married and then all the issues start coming up?
Well, because there are issues, right? I mean, there's no way around it. Right?
No, every couple does. I mean, sometimes we think that other couples don't have conflict or don't have, you know, the issues or the baggage or whatever it is. All couples do. And that's why it's so healthy when people who are either engaged or seriously dating, you know, work through the standard issues of, you know, of a relationship. It just makes it so much better. And, you know, I had somebody recently actually read Getting Ready for Marriage and say, this was great, and we decided not to get married. We postponed. And I actually wrote him back and said, fantastic. That's a great thing. That's not a bad thing. It was a great thing. They had too much baggage, and they needed to work through their baggage before they were going to, you know, get together, although no perfect marriages. And, you know, we all bring baggage into the relationship at time, but they had not worked at theirs at all.
Well, speaking of, as you're talking about getting canceling or postponing a marriage, it kind of Bob just called in from Blaine, and why don't we just take his call, Ted, on line one, who says he's been working with some couples and find that they've called off a wedding. Bob, go ahead. You're on with Jim Burns.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Jim, I just wanted to say appreciate the work you do, man. It's so, so valuable. I've been doing premarital counseling myself for about 30 years, and I'm a Prepare Enrich trainer. I don't know if you're familiar with that tool, but it's an inventory that couples use pretty widely up in this region, Minnesota area, Midwest. But I found that, you know, couples who are willing to go through, a 12-week premarital course that, and I've made it a policy not to tell couples that you shouldn't get married. If they don't reach that conclusion on their own, telling them they can't, they'll just go find somebody who agrees with them. But I found that about 2 out of 5 couples or so end up calling it off. Once they go through, I don't know if that number is anything close to what you've experienced or not. But
thanks, Bob.
Two things. One is Prepare and Enrich is incredible, and any couple that's wanting to draw closer, get some good conversation going, I strongly suggest that they go to somebody like you, Bob, and do the the Prepare and Enrich. It's an incredible program. They can do it on their own if they want, but it's actually, I think, much more effective when they do it with a counselor. And so, you know, they can go to prepare/enrich.com and get some great things with it. I find it's 1 out of 3. That's the latest statistic that of the people who get engaged, 1 out of 3 end up calling it off. And most of the time, that's a really good reason. Now, I think they jumped the gun in terms of getting engaged. They weren't prepped to do that. So that's why I like actually sometimes couples, when they get to seriously dating, to actually have a conversation. You know, the Bible says where there is no counsel, the people fall, and the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So, you know, 2 out of 5, 1 out of 3, you know, we're pretty close here. But the national statistic is 1 out of 3. A lot of times, Neil, people see that as a failure. I see that as not a failure at all. I see that as a really good strength that these people were willing to admit that, boy, they needed to either do more work and then come back or just break it off because they were just not right for each other.
I had to laugh as you talk about your book, Getting Ready for Marriage. You wonder if couples that don't want to do premarital counseling are crazy. And you say, no, literally. I mean, crazy. But in fact, people who are in love actually aren't really thinking clearly, are they?
No. Oftentimes what we say, it's like they're on drugs. And it kind of is like they're on drugs. I mean, as you well know, you know, you're with somebody and you say, hey, how do you guys communicate? We communicate perfectly. And you think nobody communicates perfectly, but they do. You know, and we are best friends. And they're actually doing a lot of good things because they're still dating and all this. 6 months into a marriage. I mean, and honestly, that's the magic number for me because I'll meet with them 6 months after. 6 months, they go, wow. We actually have this and that, and sometimes it's a little thing. You know, the toilet paper roll goes the wrong way, or it's big things. Like, I didn't know her family was, you know, going to be so controlling, or, you know, we had a big argument over what we were going to do for Christmas, or, you know, those kinds of things. And, you know, but it's somewhat normal. So why we need to have people having good communication with each other is because it kind of forces the hand. So it forces the hand to talk about in-laws. It forces the hand to talk about finance, sex. I mean, there's way too many couples are moving into, let's say, for example, we're talking about finance. You know, they're not talking about their debt issues. So, you know, maybe there's huge tuition debt from college, or there's, you know, some other deals that are going on, and they're too embarrassed to talk to their future spouse. Well, my goodness, they need to be able to talk about it. So part of what Doug and I are trying to do, and I think any kind of good premarital education does this, is get them talking about the issues. And so a book and a workbook and our online app is going to cause them to talk about the compatibility issues. And, you know, there's just tons of them out there, and it's time to talk.
All right. We're going to talk about the issues that we need to talk about coming up in just a moment as we continue more with Dr. Jim Burns, who's president of Homeward, the executive director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University, bestselling author. He's also host of the Homeward radio broadcast. And he and his wife and daughters live in Southern California, and he and Doug Fields have co-written this great new workbook called Getting Ready for Marriage, a Practical Roadmap for Your Journey Together. We've got some copies to give away. You can sign up for the drawing for that. In fact, 5, I think, we've got to give away. So this will be a great resource for someone that you know and care about that can really benefit from working through this together. 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. And we'll talk about issues like writing your marriage script, your in-laws. We'll talk communication and conflict and finances, sexuality, and more all ahead. Stay tuned for our conversation with Jim Burns. Dr. Jim Burns with us today on Connecting Faith. It's 20 past the hour. We're talking about the new book that he and Doug Fields have co-written called Getting Ready for Marriage. Jim's president of Homeward. He's on the Homeward broadcast. He has over 1.5 million resources in print and a broadcast heard across the country, and has a passion for communicating to adults and youth about truths to help them live out their Christian lives, particularly in the relationship. And we're getting ready for marriage. I'm telling Ted here before the show that if it wasn't for me, having Ted play Wayne Watson bumpers, he wouldn't be getting any airplay at all. So that, Jim, we so appreciate this great resource. And you know, that little bumper was talking about, you know, praying for a godly spouse. And, you know, before we kind of dive into the book, you know, you talk a little bit about sort of our emphasis on finding the right person versus becoming the right person. I mean, that's really kind of a problem in our society, isn't it?
Exactly. We're always looking for Mr. Right or, you know, Ms. Right, and we need to be Mr. Right or Ms. Right. And really what we've got to do is make sure we're working our own self. You know, a lot of times when we're pointing a finger at somebody, blaming them or trying to shame them or whatever, we have to remember there's three fingers pointing back at us. So, you know, one of the things that we suggest strongly with any couple, anytime, I don't care if it's in marriage or pre-marriage or seriously dating, is, you know, work on your own stuff. Not on his stuff or not on her stuff. You know, it's hard to explain to somebody in pre-marriage, but you're not going to change that guy. In fact, the truth is, you know, it may get stronger in a more negative way, you know, whatever their issue is. And so, you know, deal with it early on, and, you know, you change you. And if that works, then great. I mean, I oftentimes say to couples, your circumstance may not change, but your attitude can, and that makes a difference. And I think that has a lot to do with becoming more the right person. You know, if I waited for me to be happy and wanted Kathy to change, you know, that's not going to happen. What I need to do is I need to work on my own stuff. And as I work on my own stuff, interesting enough, it helps Kathy and me greatly. In marriage, well, of course, that makes sense with pre-marriage too.
You know, one of the areas you address kind of early on in the book is just about being willing to hear from, I mean, you recommend, you know, working through a book or a, you know, session together, but also being willing to hear from your relational community. And I think, you know, that's, as parents, certainly we have opinions. As maybe family and friends, we have opinions, but it's always kind of hard to know when and how much to share.
Yeah, that's always hard. It's hard on the parents. It's hard on the friends if they don't like the, you know, the other person, you know, in the relationship. But I think it's very important that couples do listen to the relational community. In fact, in the first session, I say, hey, what do your parents think about your guys' relationship? What do your friends think? And if I hear, well, my parents don't really like him, and my friends think she's something, you know, that's a red flag for me. And so I'm going to bring that up more. If they say my parents adore him, like him more, like we used to say, my daughter who just got married, my other daughter said, I think we like Steve better than we like Christy, my sister. Well, we love this guy. So that said something, you know, good. But if you hear too many of those relational community people, the relational community from way back knows and understands. Now, again, they've got to get to know that person, but very important. And it's a red flag if it's all negative. I'll tell you that.
You address doing a family map. Talk a little bit more about, speaking of family and relational community. Say more about that.
Right. Well, one of the points that we make in the book, and then we do activities in the workbook, is we just say you marry the family, you know, when we talk about in-laws. And a lot of people don't want to face that. And a relational map is something that a lot of good pre-marriage counselors do. What they do is, you know, you put a family map together, grandma, grandpa on, you know, mom and dad's side, and sometimes there's several grandmas and grandpas, and you start asking questions like, you know, is there alcoholism in the family? Is there any kind of mental illness in the family? How many divorces are there? And you just go down the list, and you get a good handle on what your family system is, and, you know, that's just a great conversation piece. And really, I find I do this early in premarital counseling. We put it early in the book, and the reason is because it integrates into all the other issues. If mom and dad didn't do well in their spending habits, then there's a pretty good chance that, you know, Junior over here isn't probably as good with their stewardship of finances, or you know, and the list just goes on. So I think it's really important that you get a good handle on the way to know who you are and how your marriage is going to do. Sometimes is looking at the past and seeing, you know, some of the relational issues. Now, again, if you came from a family that's dysfunctional, I did. My dad was an alcoholic. That doesn't mean that I'm going to become an alcoholic, but it does mean that I have a predisposition toward, say, alcoholism. So, you know, Kathy and I made a decision early on that I wasn't going to drink at all, period. And that was because of that predisposition toward alcoholism. Well, we learned that by looking at how my family reacted to alcohol. That was a good thing. If we wouldn't have had conversations like that early, for us, it was early in our marriage. It wasn't in premarital. But for us, that was a defining factor, I think, in us making some good decisions about how we parent, how we did marriage, and how we, you know, did life.
Well, so we're all bringing baggage of some sort into a marriage, but you know, what's the best way to address our past and family structure? I mean, do we have to sort of tell all our past sins and mistakes and failures?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually for Neil, us being brutally honest about our own brokenness. And part of that is our own past. You know, the things that oftentimes don't get shared is sexual history, finance history. And actually, I think the greatest way Kathy and I have grown in our intimacy together, and intimacy means connection, is in knowing each other's past and somewhat sinful bent, at least sin nature, sin bent. Now, do you have to go through every gory detail of every past sin? You know, some would say yes, some would say no. I just think that there shouldn't be surprises. So if there were, if there are some of the red flags that I'm thinking about, they'd better be brought up. And some of the red flags we talk about are addiction or abuse or unfaithfulness. You mentioned cohabitation. I know we're going to get to that. Various sexual activities. A difference in spiritual values, things like that. Those are all to me red flags that had better be discussed before you get married, not have a surprise after you've gotten married.
I'm sure you probably encountered some people say, well, I don't really want to talk about that with my, my fiance.
Yeah. Well, I had somebody say that within the last year and say, past is past. And I said, well, you're right. It is. But I want them to marry you. And you is the old you, the new you, the future you. And they don't know who you are. And so I think it's important that you go through kind of a little bit of an inventory and work through that. And, the other person, it's funny, I'm sitting in my office right now and I can picture them on my couch. And, the woman, it was a guy who said this, I don't think I want to do that. And the woman said, no, I want that. And I want you to know that I will accept and love you. And, I don't think there's much you could say that, would stop me from, still loving you and whatnot. Well, he started to cry and he had a breakdown. Well, his deal was, I kind of wanted to say at the end, I could say this to you, just kind of go, that's all, that's it. That's what you're holding back. You should hear what, the last person said, what I mean. But it was a real freeing, open part because, the Bible says, confess your sins to one another. And interesting enough, we forget about this. It then says, and be healed. And I think some healing took place as he confessed, kind of a past sin, if you would, sin bent in his life, that that she totally showed grace to him, and it was a beautiful moment. He was afraid that she was gonna not like him. Well, you know what? He also had God issues because I think he felt like God wasn't a God who loves you unconditionally, not for what you do, but for who you are, his child. And I think it was a very good freeing moment. So I say share, and if they can't handle it, it's not gonna be a good relationship anyway.
We're going to get more practical, helpful advice as we get ready for marriage. The book, Getting Ready for Marriage, it's a practical roadmap for your journey together and also features a workbook. We've got some copies to give away. You can be part of the drawing for that. And join in with a question or a comment, 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Dr. Jim Burns, President of Homeward and the Executive Director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. He's also host of the radio broadcast, heard on the weekends, Homeward. And we're going to talk more about getting ready for marriage. We'll get into, cohabitation of sex and finances, all that, coming up in a couple minutes. Talking about getting ready for marriage, apparently it's more than picking out the white dress. I think we're discovering that today. And we kind of knew that, but Jim Burns has some good insight for us, president of Homeward. You hear him on the broadcast Saturday mornings here on Faith Radio. He and Doug Fields have co-authored a great new resource called Getting Ready for Marriage, a practical roadmap for your journey together, and it includes a wonderful workbook as well. In fact, there's some online resources as well. We'll talk about that as we go along. You can join us with the conversation and sign up for one of the copies of these books. It'll be a good gift to give away to someone that you know and love and care about, maybe in your family or a friend. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Jim, many of the things that you address in the book are things like, you know, in-laws and conflict and finances and, you know, those things. And the questions, the exercises don't really seem particularly romantic sometimes. So how do we push through the fog to get through these topics?
Well, hopefully there is some romance going on, and there needs to be good romance that goes on. What we're trying to do is do the work of rolling up your sleeves, you know, building on your relationship so you can enhance your romance. And frankly, when there's low-level bitterness, there's anger, there's resentment, people aren't talking about the issues, well, that stifles romance like crazy. There's nothing like actually having an incredible conversation, an accepting, loving, graceful conversation about something that somewhat might be more meaningful than, just watching a movie together and cuddling, and those are great. However, what happens is once you've had that, it's a breakthrough toward romance and intimacy. I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Creating an Intimate Marriage. And, of course, the guys think it's on sex because it says the word intimate. And the women get it right. They're probably better at this. It's about connection. You don't get connected to have good romance unless you are willing to do the work of rolling up your sleeves and having the conversations about, you know, the issues of the day. If you're blocking it if you're not. So it really is causing romance, but at the same time, some of our exercises are, you know, when you're talking about the red flags or you're talking about finances, you know, it's not exactly sexy. You're right.
Yeah. Well, speaking, you mentioned red flags. Just in case someone maybe came in late, are there sort of a standard set of red flags to say if a couple is thinking about getting married, but these things come up through an exercise like this or some counsel, what are they and what should we do then?
Well, if there are red flags, period, whatever the red flag is, and I'll go through a couple of them, but if there are red flags, they want counsel. They want to get some wisdom, and typically it's beyond them. I mean, that's why it's good to talk with somebody like your first caller, actually, you know, who is a premarital counselor. I mean, he knows what he's doing. You know, you could go to a counselor, you can go to a pastor, but go to somebody and work through these. But, you know, the major ones for me are addiction. If somebody is an addict, then addicts typically don't do intimacy well, and they don't do relationships well. Now, addicts who are healed of this and get well and understand the process and understand their brokenness, then they're fine. But if there is an addiction going on right then. The other issue for me is abuse, whether it be physical or sexual abuse. Again, if it's not dealt with. Notice that I'm saying red flags. A person can have a past experience that's not good. But if they've been willing to work through it, then, you know, with God's grace, they can be phenomenal. The other one is unfaithfulness for me. If there's been, unfaithfulness or constant unfaithfulness in the relationship, in an engagement or seriously dating, then what's going to stop them from having an unfaithful relationship once they get married? That's just not going to happen. And, for example, take cohabitation. If couples are cohabitating, and of course that is just growing every hour, it's growing with the amount of people who go that way, even some Christians. But all studies, this is the science of cohabitation, not what the Bible says. We know what the Bible says. But the science of cohabitation says that if couples who cohabitate, they get a much greater chance of getting a divorce, less sexual satisfaction in their relationship, which is interesting because they've been, you know, cohabitating. But when they get married, less sexual, and a much greater chance of adultery. And I could name about 20 other scientific issues that take place. So to me, that's actually, you know, a red flag. I guess the other red flag, and there's tons of them that we talk about in our book, but is different spiritual values. We know that if couples are spiritually compatible, that they're going to have a much greater chance of staying married than if one, say, for example, is a Christian and one is not a Christian. And that's partly because they're going to come from different values. They're going to have a different foundation in which they, well, do marriage, raise their kids, whatever. It doesn't mean that the person who's not a Christian is some evil, rotten person. It just simply means that, you know, they're not going to go about doing life with the same set of values. And that's a huge thing, Neil, in marriages that people need to take another look at.
Getting Ready for Marriage is the reference that we're talking about. It's a new book and a workbook from Jim Burns and Doug Fields. Jim Burns with us on Connecting Faith today. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number, and we'll get to some calls and comments here in a moment. I did want to ask you a little bit to talk about the you address conflict, communication and conflict. There's couples often say, well, we don't have any conflict. I mean, we don't fight at all, and that probably doesn't last past the engagement. But say a word about working through conflict.
Right. when couples say they don't have conflict, I get scared, actually, because I've been married for 41 years, and Kathy and I have conflict, you know, and conflict causes intimacy, and it, you know, brings it closer together. You know, Doug and I created something that we call the conflict.
Oh, well, wait a minute. It's, I think people are probably missed that. Is that conflict brings intimacy?
Yeah, I honestly think that conflict, when you have conflict and you work through it in a healthy way, it absolutely brings, you know, connection in ways that, you know, again, going to the movie, I'm totally big on, you know, date nights, of course, but, you know, going to the movie or you know, having a romantic walk, I mean, that brings some intimacy, but working through a conflict actually brings you closer together. But, and here's the good news, Neil. You know, some things are, for example, I'm an extrovert, Kathy's an introvert. That's not going to change. But learning how to deal with conflict is a learned trait. So that's not something that you necessarily have to go, well, you know, I just do conflict bad because, you know, I was born that way and my parents didn't do it. No, you can learn how to deal with conflict better. And so that's good news for couples. But, you know, they're going to have to, again, roll up their sleeves and work at it. One of the things we talk about with conflict is we say there's pain in life, and you're either going to have the pain of discipline of working through the conflict or the pain of regret by not working through the conflict. So we created these conflict dances where they both start with tension, where there's kind of friction in the relationship, but the negative one immediately goes to defensiveness. And by the way, this works for couples who are married as well. But, you know, in defensiveness, then you're blaming and you're shaming and you're pointing your finger at the other person, and there's a lot of I language or you language either way. Then you disconnect, which means you emotionally withdraw, or you sometimes even act superior, but you're getting disconnected. Then you get detached, where you have, where you're bitter and you have resentment. And then the result, of course, is deeper tension, regret, and, you know, you got a lousy relationship going. That's the negative dance. Interesting enough, the positive dance starts with tension, because there's going to be tension. If you are married, you will have tension. That's just the nature of it. But then you move, instead of from defensiveness, you move to we. You're going to assume the responsibility that together you can work on this. As soon as a couple starts working together on it, then that's going to enhance it, and it keeps them connected. So, you know, I'm now not just blaming Kathy, but I'm saying, hey, how can we make this more effective? And we come to the conclusion together. Even if we have to, with resolution, we have to actually just say we're going to agree to disagree. You know, there's things that, you know, couples can just learn to agree to disagree, but you stay connected. And then the result of that part of the dance is what we call authentic oneness, and still a sense of feeling love. So I think it's possible to go through conflict and feel loved. There's also, you can go through conflict, and if you do it the wrong way, you're going to feel regret, tension, and actually not loved.
One of the areas in terms of conflict, obviously, it takes the right kind of communication, being willing to talk and to speak clearly. You talk about conflict resolution and, say, the language of hint is kind of a problem. Explain what the language of hint
right.
is about.
Absolutely. We have a very fun video on at gettingreadyformarriage.com. We have six videos that we do some teaching on. And one is basically this theme. You know, hinting is not a form of communication. And it goes through a gal who, you know, wanted her husband to take her to the ballet, and, you know, he totally missed it. And, you know, he comes over to the house and, you know, all grubby's, when I say husband-to-be, I should say. But anyway, the whole idea is, you know, I say to couples all the time, and this is either in pre-marriage or in marriage, and I say, you know, how's it working on the romance side? And they go, well, he's not as sharp as I thought he was going to be. I said, do you ever tell him what you need or what you want? Well, no, that would ruin the spontaneity. Well, how's it working? Well, it's not working. I said, well, you know what? If you express and tell them what you want, they'll actually want to do that for you most of the time, but you've got to be able to express your expectation. And, you know, a lot of times couples don't want to do that, so they kind of hint around to it, and that's not a healthy way of doing it. And, you know, my wife, who speaks with me, loves to put herself down and say that there's times when she has said, you know, to me, almost passive aggressive, you know, so did you actually look at the dishes when you cleaned them? Instead of going, hey, Jim, this dish is lousy. You did a bad job or whatever. You know, so she'll hint. And I'll get more defensive about the hint than if she just says, the dishes are dirty. Rethink this, how you're going to clean dishes or whatever. But, you know, way too often we're just hinting, and that's not a good form of communication. But, again, we can learn to communicate more clearly, and this comes from, you know, working on it by, you know, doing the things where you do the work. Premaritally, you read the books, you have some marriage mentors, you maybe go to a class. You know, there's several things you can do to become a more effective communicator and work on it.
Just thinking about how, the best-selling book a few years ago, How to Talk Minnesotan, kind of, a guy could. A guy could do that. So, yeah, we need a little help in that area, Jim. Thanks for sharing that with us today. Getting ready for marriage is our conversation with Jim Burns. And Jim, one of our callers wanted to know, would you suggest group premarital counseling sessions or one-on-one? Is there a benefit to one or the other?
I would say yes. Yes,
okay.
To both.
Okay.
Why I like both is because on one-on-one, you're going to sometimes be able to talk more clearly with someone. Typically, you're doing that with a counselor, a pastor, or a mentor who's willing to, go a little deeper. The benefit of being in a group is that you go, my goodness, they have the same issues we have, and you can learn from each other. So, my favorite way of doing it is how we do it at our church. We actually have a group. They go through 6 sessions, and then they're given a marriage mentor, and they work with the marriage mentors 4 times. So you're talking now, 10 times. And then they meet with our pastors a couple of times. But pretty much they've already done the hard work both individually and, in group. And I feel like those couples are really, moving into their marriage with some much better tools. And it's funny. When I'm doing individual stuff, I really do feel like we can talk about things that we don't necessarily talk about in a group, or maybe somebody's not even going to want to bring it up. At the same time, I find that when I'm doing premarital counseling with people from my church, that they have a really good foundation because they've already been involved in some group, stuff. So it's easier. If they've been in a group, it's easier to get to the bottom line of some of the issues. And every premarital counseling doesn't – I had a premarital couple. I just said, I'm just affirming you because we've spent 6 times and I can't find – I'm looking for dirt. I'm trying to get you guys to do this. And you guys do this great. So they walked out, hopefully walking – 6 inches off the ground because they really had done the work. They did a great job, and I think they're going to have an incredible marriage.
Tom in Fargo asked this question. He says, my wife and I have been married 30 years now, but we had a 4-year-long engagement. He said, we found it helpful because during the engagement, we learned all about each other's families, background, history, etc. So he wants to know about the length of engagement. Is there a healthy amount of time, engagement, or does it completely depend on the couple?
I think it depends on the couple. I think Tom and his wife at 4 years, that's by no means a record, but that's a long time, Tom. But the neat thing about it was is they really did get to know the family and whatnot. If I had Tom and his wife in my office after 4 years, I'd say, what took you so long? And why were you engaged for that long? I understand you could date that long, definitely. But my other concern would be that if it's too short, if somebody came in and said, we are in love, we've been dating for the last 4 months, and now we're engaged, and we want to get married right away, to me there's probably a red flag. Maybe they're having sex, or maybe there's some kind of other issue that's taking place. So a good standard is that people who are dating can't distinguish the difference. A lot of authorities say between love and infatuation for at least a year, and some would say even 2 years. So, I want them to know each other pretty well, and I do want them to know their families, all the good things that Tom said. But, again, Tom probably has a reason why he was that way. Somebody else has a reason because theirs was a little shorter. By and large, if they do the work in engagement, then, they understand that they're, they understand why they're compatible. So 4 years seems long. Typically, 4 to 6, 8 months seems short.
Tom wasn't good at picking up the language of hint, maybe.
That's right. Here we are. And Tom, maybe you did a great job. We're kind of burning on you there because, man, 4 years. I'm amazed. She's a patient lady.
More with Dr. Jim Burns in just a moment. We're talking about getting ready for marriage. Practical Roadmap for Your Journey Together is the name of the book. Dr. Jim Burns from Homeward is with us today. He's a best-selling author. He's got more than 1 million resources in print in more than 20 languages, a lot of best-selling books and resources. Happy to have them on with us today. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. We do have some copies of the Getting Ready for Marriage book and workbook, and we'll give those away here at the end of the hour, so I invite you to sign up for that, and it'll be a great resource to give to someone that you know and care about. And you can read it as well and get some great benefit as well. 877-933-2484. More with Dr. Jim Burns in a moment. So you can try. the hour. And we're today on Connecting Faith, talking with Jim Burns, Dr. Jim Burns, the president of Homeward, the executive director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. He's a best-selling author, and he and Doug Fields have just released a great new resource called Getting Ready for Marriage. And there's a workbook with it, plus some online videos. GettingReadyForMarriage.com is a website. And Jim, an anonymous caller, just would like to get your perspective. Said, can you talk about second chances for people who have gone through a divorce? He said, I've learned a lot about myself in the process and would like some advice on that. I know you actually do address that at the end of the book.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, second chances really work under two conditions. One is that they have learned from their past. The phrase that your anonymous caller said was, you know, I've learned a lot. Well, the problem is that with second marriages, they don't last as long as first marriages, you know, in the terms of just statistics. But that's, I think, almost totally because people don't learn from their past and they keep making those same mistakes. So learn from your past, and then at the same time, make sure that you, a lot of times with second marriages, you know, you're trying to blend a family, and make sure that you understand how to successfully deal with you know, that other family, if you would. In fact, I hardly use the word blending a family because it sounds too easy and it's really, really tough. You know, the husband and the wife fall in love, but what about, you know, the kids liking the ex and, you know, the ex and, you know, one's a Christian and one's not, and so they have different values, and, you know, it's complicated. So, you know, those are the things that you deal with before. And then Doug and I you know, created something I'm thrilled about. It's called a remarriage readiness survey that asks kind of, again, tough questions, but I'd rather have the questions asked before than after. And, you know, so you got to know that you're ready to be remarried. It's not just that, you know, you fall in love or you find somebody who's going to take care of your kids financially. You got to make sure that you're doing the work. But mainly it's looking at the past and saying, what did I learn? You know, what did I learn from the past that is going to make me a more effective person today? A lot of it is sometimes some of them got right into it without premarital education or whatever. And, you know, today they're doing it and it's great for them.
Yeah. It does remind us, though, that there, you know, the kind of resources we talked early on just about, you know, different assessment tools that are out there. I mean, those are valuable, yeah, really, probably at any stage of our relationship.
Oh, you're so right. You know, it's funny. We have at GettingReadyForMarriage.com, we have a compatibility tool that is really cool. It's really a neat communication device, and we've got other things on that, too. And what I laugh at is people who are prepping for marriage take it, but also we've had some people who are like counselors and pastors who, and just regular people who are married, you know, take it and go, God, this was great for us. We had some great conversations. So it's things like, you know, are you a spender or a saver? If one is a spender, one's a saver, then, you know, there's some conversations you're going to have. And so any of those kind of tools, I'm kind of a tool junkie like that. Why I like it so much is because it gives people a chance to, it kind of causes you to have conversation. You know, it's not natural for some of us to have really good, you know, deep conversation, especially as guys, it's harder. So, you know, find the tools that cause good communication that are going to bring you together and not apart. And, you know, there's great things out there. I mean, our Getting Ready for Marriage .com, it has great stuff, but at the same time, you know, there's Prepare and Enrich. You know, when I was getting married, Neil, we didn't have this kind of stuff. Today, there is much more effective materials out there to help us you know, grow closer together and stay married.
You just have to look at those stone tablets, right? When you were getting married.
Exactly. With Kathy and I, that was closer than we think. It was like that.
You know, talk about if, and we got a little bit of time left, but if maybe when these exercises reveal some problem areas, what's the best way to, you know, to work through, or do we stop the process?
I think you try to work through it first. I mean, if it's really scary, it's one of those red flags that you just go, okay, finally I've seen the light. You know, then you stop, pause, wait. You know, I don't know if you saw this in the news, but I noticed that Bristol Palin, Sarah Palin's daughter, 1 week before her marriage, they put it off. Well, you know what? I don't know their story. I don't have any idea what the situation is. I think that is the best thing that could happen because, again, it's embarrassing. There were probably people who had already, you know, made their plans to be in the wedding and at the wedding, they'd spent money and on. But, you know, I think it's better to just pause then. But, you know, a lot of that isn't, you know, right at the end of the wedding. I mean, or at the end of the engagement. So, you know, I think it's better to pause and have a conversation. But I definitely, first thing they should do is go get some wisdom and counsel from somebody who can give them the kind of wisdom and counsel to see if this is a big enough thing for them to pause.
And then maybe just say a word about, I mean, I think we wonder, will the prep work really work? Will it really pay off in the marriage? Why is this going to be useful?
Well, it's going to be useful because it prepares you for marriage. Again, too many couples just prepare for the wedding, and then they get the shock of the century. And so we find that a lot of first years of marriage, mine included, you know, were pretty rocky. And so what it does is it smooths it out because you've dealt with the issues before you got married, not, you know, in those, you know, not after. So what you're trying to do is, you know, is make a marriage healthy, and the kinds of things that are in getting ready for marriage, as well as other good materials, the kinds of things are the kind of things that are going to enhance marriage forever. So, you know, why do couples work on some things, but they aren't ones who will be willing to work on their marriages? I mean, once they get married, I say read one marriage book a year, read one parenting book a year if you have kids, get on the same page, lean into it, go into the small groups at church, go to the seminars if they're offering them. You know, become, you know, more equipped. Most of us didn't get that from our families. Today, we've got to be able to do it. So it's a, you know, Saturday, I did something on creating a media-safe home. It was a parenting seminar that Homeward does. And, you know, these couples were, you know, their six-year-olds knew more about media and the problems than they did. They had to, you know, we've got to keep working on it, period.
Yeah. And I'm sure just, I mean, as a youth and family specialist, you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in families and teens. So is there one message you want to get across, maybe above all else?
You know, it's a message, Neil, that I mentioned. I think there's pain in life, and I think it's the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And so intentionality here when it comes to relationships is huge. We want it to be spontaneous and all perfectly romantic. And actually, the way to get to romance and some of the beauty of spontaneity, unfortunately, is through the pain of discipline. Even Paul said to Timothy, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Well, I think it takes some discipline to make a good marriage work. You've got to roll up your sleeves. And if you're willing to do that, I think the result is a very successful and prosperous relationship, frankly, for generations. Now, I know I'm experiencing that, and both Kathy and I came from dysfunctional families. And unfortunately, we didn't learn it early. We had to, you know, kind of battle to get to that. And then one day we went, you know, why are we not working on this thing? This is the most important thing besides our relationship with God. And, you know, today we are not conflict-free, but we have a really good relationship because I think we work on it. It's the date nights. It's the constant conversations. It's the taking a deep breath and saying, instead of just not being willing to talk about it and burying it, us having a conversation that might not be, you know, always easy, but it's important and good.
In the book, you'll appreciate just the wide variety of topics that are addressing, from in-laws to communication to conflict to finances. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about that. Sexuality, spiritual intimacy, we kind of touched on that, and also planning your wedding and ceremony, all those things, the helper resources. And again, you can find out more at gettingreadyformarriage.com. Gettingreadyformarriage.com. And Joe, I know that you've got books and resources aplenty for people that are really serious about trying to make their relationships work the best, right?
Absolutely. We think it's one of the privileges of a life to be able to give people some good insight in terms of how to make a marriage work. And partly is because I love kids. And I want to see kids thrive. And the way you get kids to thrive is to help the parents, both in their parenting and in their marriages. And so that's why Homeward leans into it so much that way, because we want these kids to, you know, come to have a better shot at it.
Jim Burns, president of Homeward, the executive director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. And he's heard on the radio broadcast Homeward here on Faith Radio as well. And he's written dozens of books, and we're happy to have him with us today. You can find out more about this particular resource at GettingReadyForMarriage.com. Jim, great to have you on again. Good to talk.
Neil, always, you do such a great job. Thanks for what you do.
If you missed part of today's program or would like to pass it on to a friend, all our interviews are posted after the show, and they're shareable. So go to MyFaithRadio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page to get the podcast archives. And thanks for listening.